I slept through my first earthquake after moving to Los Angeles for college. It was a minor quake, but it rocked the ground enough for my classmates and the local news to be talking about it the next day. I felt as if I were missing out having slept through it. So I was actually excited one sunny afternoon when I was with friends in the campus ministry lounge and there came a low rumbling from north of campus. Then, a few seconds after the rumble started, the building whipped back and forth a few times. There was a loud crack as if someone had pulled a huge sheet of art paper and then teared it in two. Before we could get under the table or find a doorway, it was over. No more swaying, no more loud noises. But by that point, I was convinced of the power of the earth, a power that can move buildings and cause great destruction. Power is synonymous with earthquakes and loud explosions or the low rumble of my Mustang's V8 engine. Power moves and makes things happen. Which is exactly what it seems this story from the early days of Peter and John's ministry wants us to know. It's easy for us to read this story about a person who could not walk, begging outside the temple gates, as purely a healing story, a story that implores us to heal people of whatever ails them, or maybe to wonder why it doesn't work like that for us. But this story doesn't purely function that way. Instead, this is a display of power, as most ancient healing stories are. Peter and John go up to the temple at the hour of prayer when they see a man being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked them for alms. It's as if this guy is just standing just outside the church parking lot holding a sign that says, "Homeless, please help. God bless." They could have given him some money. They could have told him that they didn't have any and then just passed by. But they could have refused to look at him, pretending as if he weren't there or they didn't see him. Except that they don't. They see him. They see him and they stop. And instead of responding to the man's request for alms, Peter heals the guy, telling him, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." That's the kind of power that God's got to suddenly heal a man who had been unable to walk since he was born. Except that that's not the end of the story. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. The power of God doesn't end at miracles, but instead is about reconciliation, about including people in community, which is, I think, maybe the real miracle of this story. While we're focused on the healing, the author sneaks in the real truth about what God is up to, full inclusion. And in that inclusion, in that belonging, people find life. That's where God's true power lies. Where death is all about exclusion and separation, life is all about love, inclusion, and belonging. Jesus repeatedly healed people not only for their health, but always also to restore them to their community. The lepers were outcasts because of their disease, but after they were healed, Jesus told them to go, return to the community, and tell people what had happened to them. Those who begged because of disease were healed so that they could fully participate in the life of the community in the ways that they could not before. Jesus's healing is always about full restoration, restoration of physical health, as well as restoration to the community. And while it's easy to look at what is happening to us right now and see only the death narrative, the part of the story that seems to be tearing us apart, people protesting, people out of work, people continuing to get sick, the fact that we're isolated in our houses, some of us are alone, some of us don't have houses to go to, and people are dying. And then assume that that is the only narrative being told right now. Instead, I see God slipping another story in, as long as we have eyes to see it. In the midst of our physical distancing from one another, many of us have begun to reconnect with friends we haven't talked with in a long while. Being able to schedule coffee and happy hours via FaceTime or Zoom and share some time with those who live across the country, or even maybe just those who live across the river from us who we don't often see. Some couples are beginning to have honest conversations, and some are rediscovering each other as they're forced to spend time in the same space together. Some folks are beginning to meet neighbors that they hadn't previously, chatting from an appropriate distance as they take walks each day. There are bears in windows and sidewalk chalk on the sidewalks and driveways, all signs that we're in this together. But perhaps most of all, there's a strong desire to help one another, to ensure that all have life, that we make it through this together, to see the people who are begging at the beautiful gate and to make sure that they have what they need. People are routinely sharing resources, helping those who need bleach, Clorox wipes, and Lysol to find those items either by sharing where they have seen them in stores recently or even directly giving them to someone who needs them. You all have been extremely generous, giving more money to Faith so that we can not only continue to pay our staff and ensure those who work for us are able to pay rent or a mortgage and eat, but you're also going above and beyond so we can help those who are hungry receive food through the Arlington Food Assistance Center or the Arlington Street People's Assistance Network. We have regularly had people give to support COVID relief, and those funds have gone to Arlington Thrive to support people who need emergency assistance like rent or utility assistance. We've sent money to Bridges to Independence, which helps homeless families in our area who are experiencing a greater need because many of the people that they support have been laid off from their jobs and their major fundraisers have been postponed due to this pandemic. While there's a lot of uncertainty and anxiety about what tomorrow brings, there's also a lot of love, connection, and life as people find ways to ensure that we all make it through this. That's the real power of God, to unite us into one people, to create wholeness not by making a person perfect, but rather by breaking down whatever barriers would have excluded them previously. That's why the healing of the man outside the temple gate is so important, not because he's physically healed, but because that was what prevented him from being part of the rest of the community. Even in the midst of a pandemic in which a virus threatens to break us, God is healing each of us so that we can be included, healing our hatred and our fear, healing our feelings of inadequacy and self-loathing, healing our loneliness and greed, healing our desire to keep those who are not like us somehow apart from us. God is healing all of this so that we can be one body, one community. That's the power of God, even if we're mistaken about what's really going on. That low rumbling and ground shaking experience I thought was the first earthquake I was awake for in Southern California turned out to be something else entirely. The space shuttle had been diverted from its originally scheduled landing point to Edwards Air Force Base in Southern California. The whip of the building and the loud crack weren't the effects of tectonic plates colliding below our feet, but instead the sound barrier being broken as the shuttle came back to Earth. Occasionally, we miss the real story because what we see seems so obvious. Perhaps it's time we take a look around at the ways that God's power has created community among us, even including us, and then see that God is already at work making us whole.